Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so let's open up the phone lines on the Hilscher's General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Two major stories. Rutgers firing Mike Rice. You've seen the tape. Your thoughts? My thought on the athletic director, Tim Pernetti, is as follows. If I'm the president of Rutgers University, I bring in the current team. And remember, Rice was suspended at the beginning of the season for three games, fined $75,000, and told he had to undergo anger management. So my question to the Rutgers team this season as the president would be, did you see dramatic changes? Did he throw a ball at anybody? Did he get personal in terms of what he said? Did he use a slur? Did he shove anybody? You know, did you see a difference in that regard? I don't care about the yelling and screaming. Okay, a coach is a coach. I don't know why he thought any of this stuff worked as a motivational tool, but I would gather, and they would give me the answer as to whether it worked or not in terms of the attempt to rehabilitate him, which Tim Pernetti wanted to do. If the answers come out satisfactory, then I think Tim Pernetti is fine and should keep his job, because then what he tried to do, obviously, was working and was on the right path. If it didn't, and as athletic director, he should have been going to practice unannounced periodic basis to see for himself what was going on to make sure, right? If the answers are not satisfactory, then he does have to lose his job over it. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
How are you doing today, Dave?
Okay. From sea to shining sea at a nominal fee.
Yeah, that's exactly that's our saying here.
Yeah,
if it's Drew Kelly, we're saying it's an exorbitant fee.
Okay, yeah. Well, I just viewed that part of that video. You know, they were ABC right. Channel 16 showing it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a parent, that guy's no longer employed with that university.
Well, he's unemployed now. They fired him.
Yeah, well,
and I'm telling you right now, they could never. Once the release of that video came out, the odds of Rutgers recruiting anybody to go, even the desperate, was never going to happen.
Yeah. Well, when he had what, five guys last year that transferred on him. That was part of that story.
Yeah, well, you don't know, but see, you know what? You don't know. You don't know whether he ran them and they transferred, or whether they weren't playing and wanted to transfer, or they couldn't stand or hated his guts and wanted to transfer. So you'd have to ask each one of the five what their respective circumstances were as to why they transferred, and you can't lump them all together. We may find out they're all lumped together, but you have to ask each one as to why they decided to transfer, and it could have been coach said, you're no longer wanted here. We're not renewing your scholarship. That's one. Or it could be, I'm not playing enough. I could play someplace else. Or I can't stand him, and I can't put up with the abuse. I'm leaving. There are a variety of reasons we'd ask each one to find out.
Well, some of the homophobic slurs he was using and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
While he was talking to him. I mean, you can't do that.
No, you can't. You cannot do that. You cannot use slurs. You can't be personal about it. I don't care if you're yelled at. Who cares if you're yelled at?
That's part of life.
I mean, I could care less if you get yelled at. I mean, really. I mean, you can't spend your whole life in the fetal position, for goodness sakes. All right? But at the same time, you can't be personal about it.
No.
You can't personally attack somebody. You can't personally attack them in swear words where it really is personal, okay? And it has nothing to do with motivation, teaching, or letting them know how angry you are. And you absolutely can't use slurs. You just can't do it.
Yeah, well, just saying, as far as transferring, staying on the same subject, but changing the teams, mm-hmm. that Pitt lost that one guy who was the center, had a freshman year, and he's transferring out, and mm-hmm. another guy isn't coming back.
Right.
Just out of curiosity, you know, I mean, because he got that 10-year extension.
Right.
Is he going to start losing players left and right himself?
But again, when you have a coaching change, Dave, first of all, Paul Christ has not just a good reputation, he has a great reputation. I know of it from his time at Wisconsin. I think he's a rock-solid hire by Pitt.
All right.
I think they have two rock-solid coaches in Jamie Dixon and Paul Christ. I really do. Now, when it comes to transfers, many times when a new coach gets in there, style of play or their evaluation of you, you don't fit the system, you don't catch on to what he's going to do. There are many reasons why. Suddenly you're not playing as often, you transfer. I don't put too much stock in, oh, look at the mass exodus. It happens in part because the people transferring out are not people he recruited. So he didn't know them when they started. They didn't know him. They've now gone through a year of being with him and his system. And it may not be a satisfactory experience to them, so they want to go someplace else.
Yeah, I understand. You know, it was one of the thoughts that I'll hang up and listen because I sort of lost it. It's out there somewhere in space, and maybe Kevin can find it.
This now we're in Kevin's wheelhouse.
I'm already lost in space myself. So,
okay.
Will Robinson.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Dave. 800-795-9565. I'd like to get your comments on the firing of Mike Rice at Rutgers. You've seen the tape. Your thoughts. Also, what you would do if you were in the shoes of the president at Rutgers when it comes to athletic director Tim Pernetti, who by all accounts is one of the rising stars among athletic directors and is being honored by Street and Smith this year for all he's done. Look, the move to the Big Ten financially saves the Rutgers athletic department. And this story does have legs when it comes to Penn State because they will be on the same side of the bracket as Penn State 18 months from now. So the two significant hires that Tim Pernetti has made, and let's face it, you know, we can go in a Title IX world all you want, but I'm going to go in the real world, okay? The real world, the two most significant hires you have are your football coach and your men's basketball coach. Okay? And the Title IX, you know, I'm sorry, it's reality. Those are the two sports that generate revenue that allow the other sports to exist. So those are the two most important hires you make. Well, he made those hires. He hired Mike Rice, hired him away from Robert Morris, and he hired Kyle Flood when Greg Schiano took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers job. Kyle Flood had a great year for Rutgers this year. Got off to a 9-0 start. Went to a bowl game. Mike Rice has been treading water. They went 15-16 this past season. He's been treading water in his three seasons at Rutgers. So this is not, for example, when he decided to, quote, rehabilitate him. This was not an attempt to rehabilitate one of the most successful coaches in the history of Rutgers basketball. No, he's going to his third year, and they really had gone nowhere fast so far. But Rutgers also hasn't made the NCAA tournament since 1991. What would you do? Our number 1-800-795-9565. Also on Ed Rush, the supervisor officials in the Pac-12. Again, I think the setting makes a difference. This was not a social setting. We're at a party. We're all kidding around. We have a few pops, but we're over at the neighborhood Bennigan's the night before. We're just sitting around, just sharing stories, and suddenly, you know, everybody's clowning around a bit, and you make a comment. No, this was in a meeting in a room at the arena. Different setting. Setting means something to me. Where you're supposed to be taking care of the business of the day. If he had made it in general about the tournament, even that wouldn't be good, but this is one where a specific individual was mentioned and a specific team was mentioned. And officiating is something where, because of, again, let's get back to reality. The reality is money changes hands-on games. That's a reality. As people know, I am not one. When people say to me, let's take Penn State football, hey, you know what the spread on this week's game is? I never know because, again, it's something that doesn't interest me. But it doesn't mean I'm not in the real world. Because I know there are people that are putting cash down on point spreads. And they also put cash down on point spreads in basketball. So a call can make a difference. A technical can make a difference in how much money changes hands. Thus, when you sit there and you have a meeting with a group of officials, it has to be played straight down the line. No kidding around about $5,000. No kidding around about trips to Cancun. No mentioning Sean Miller by name. No mentioning Arizona by name. Okay. Now, if you want to get in there and you want to mention people by name, look, Sean Miller has a tendency to go out of the coach's box. Ben Howland has a tendency to go out of the coach's box. Okay. You as officials who are working the game need to talk to two of them before the game and say, look, we're going to be watching for it, and we will warn you in the game. Second time it happens, I mean, that's business. That's where it's okay to mention specific individuals because you know who the individuals are coaching that game and the fact that they're roaming and taking advantage. You give them a pregame warning. You give them a warning during the game. Then you tee them up. Allegedly, Miller was teed up for leaving the box. But when officiating is already talked about, to the extent it is, and I've told you, there's never been one quarterback club and never been one Penn State Hoops club that I've gone to, not one, where officiating didn't come up. And everybody thinks the officials are always out to get their team. Penn State fans think the officials are out to get their team. I can tell you other teams feel the same way about their team and the officials. Except at Ohio State and Michigan. Just kidding. So it comes up enough. Mike Rice is an issue. No matter what, I don't care what level you're at, pros, college, high school, youth, cannot throw objects at players and cannot abusively put your hands on them. Now, if you're instructing and you want, okay, I'm going to move Joey here, I'm going to move Mike here, that's different. That's instruction. Okay? Let's not carry life too far here. You already have enough people as it is saying, oh, you can't ever touch a police. Go to the back of the room. I don't need to hear from you.
There's a fine line between moving a player into the right position and shoving him out of the way or whatever.
No, there's no fine line. It's obvious. I see, you know, look, it's okay to take a player, okay, take Bob by the shirt. Okay, come on, Bob. Okay, now I need you to go to this spot here. Now, Mike, you're going to come over here off the screen like this. You're going to take it, boom, like that.
No, I misspoke. I mean, there may be a difference, not a fine line. I apologize.
Okay, it's completely different, okay? Now, it's one thing to go out there and anger and go, Bob, you're going to hear him. Mike, you're going to hear him. Okay, that's wrong. But I can tell you in no uncertain terms, so you know, of all the practices I've attended in my lifetime, I have never once seen a Penn State coach, Dick Carter, his staff, Bruce Parkhill, his staff, Jerry Dunn, his staff, Ed DeCellis, his staff, Patrick Chambers, his staff, okay, Joe Paterno, his staff, Tom Bradley in the brief time he was there with the staff, or Bill O'Brien and his staff. I've never once seen any of them even remotely approach the neighborhood of the line. So you can rest assured that's not an issue here.
Yeah, I misspoke. I meant that not that there's a fine line. I meant there's a big difference. So I apologize. I said the opposite of what I meant.
There's a chasm, okay, between instruction and what Mike Rice did. A chasm. Now I want to tell you, everybody, so you know, that this came out in the New York media. When he was suspended for 3 games and the $75,000 fine, at least the part about throwing basketballs at players, that did come out in the New York Star-Ledger in November. So this is not a startling revelation to the people of the area. And it's not a starting revelation to us who work in the game. We knew Mike Rice was suspended for temper issues. We knew that. It was brought out. And then he was fined. And they had to undergo anger management. So we knew all that part. The part we didn't know about, I didn't know about, was the pushing and the shoving and so forth in practice. The other things that came out. Now, what threw it to the back of the page and off, and really off the page completely, was the Newtown massacre a couple weeks later. All right, our number 1-800-795-9565. You'd like to hear Chris Wheeler? He's on our podcast. We had Chris on between 3:35 and 4 o'clock. So if you'd like to hear that again, hear about Doc Holliday's start tonight on our podcast. Our number from our Hilshers General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15, is 1-800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKM. Minnesota's going to hire Richard Pitino to be their head basketball coach.
Is that breaking news? Like right now? Well, breaking right this second?
Well, I mean, they're finalizing the deal.
Okay.
They're finalizing the deal. He had 1 year at Florida International. 1 year. You know, I know Norwood Teague prides himself on, yeah, I found Anthony Grant. I found Shaka Smart. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, sure you did. Yeah, yeah, you found Shaka Smart already. He was hired. You know, by Anthony Grant. But Richard Pitino is going to get the Minnesota job.
18 wins, though. Not bad.
He coached 1 year.
I understand that.
I mean, I have no idea what this means. The guy had, he's a bright young rising star, but no offense, there's a little difference between Florida International and Minnesota. Schedule's different. Let's start there.
Just a bit.
But it tells you, I think, the state of the Minnesota program and how it's thought of. No practice facility. I know that you can glorify the fact that it's one of the five oldest buildings and blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. It's like I always laugh when people say, they should be playing games in Rec Hall. I'm like going, no, they shouldn't. No, you can't recruit. You try to explain that part. You cannot recruit in Rec Hall. You can't. Bruce Parkhill would not bring recruits into Rec Hall. This is where you play, really.
Well, the word quaint is not something you would want to use with a recruit. Yeah. You know?
Look, and it's a very quaint setting. But Rec Hall's filled with mythology. Hey, yeah, the first 2.5 seasons of the Big Ten, they sold out every game. And I was also there on all those other nights before that, where they're struggling their brains out to try and get a sellout. Okay. You know, you can't fool somebody who was actually there. Okay. Look, you want to recruit against Ohio State, you want to recruit against Gonzaga, like the Woodward kid up in Minnesota, is Penn State Gonzaga. You want to recruit against Gonzaga? Okay. You got to make sure you're on equal footing across the board and then sell the program. You can't have anything that they look at that they think is substandard. Hard for people to hear, but truth hurts sometimes.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I was reading a story about Mike Rice, and they said, you know, everyone from New Jersey Governor Chris Christie to LeBron James criticized the school's handling of the situation. I don't care. It's irrelevant. Their name shouldn't even be in the story. Chris Christie criticizing something? So what? LeBron James, why don't you just play for the Heat? Oh, that's right. You're on vacation right now. Braun's on vacation. He's got a lot of free time right now. So,
I didn't quite understand though why LeBron's comment was a big deal.
Because anything he does is a big deal. It doesn't matter. Like Chris Christie, okay. You know what? Mike Rice is a state employee. Okay. State University employee. Okay. So I get that. All right. I can't buy into LeBron James saying whatever. It's really none of his business. I mean, LeBron James, by the way, I should say this. LeBron James is entitled to his opinion. The fact that it makes it into a story shows the ignorance of whomever wrote it. It really, his opinion is irrelevant to the story. It, actually, the people that should be interviewed for this are the ones that aren't talking. It's the players. The players are the one. You notice that we hear quotes from everybody. We don't know. We have not one word from a player. They should be free to speak, especially right now. They are coachless. Okay, they should be free to talk about the situation. There's no intimidation factor from the head coach. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to lose my spot, my playing time, blah, blah, blah. None of that's going to happen. Right now, they're free. As far as I'm concerned, they're free to talk, and they should let them talk. If they want to talk, and obviously some of them have been through enough, they should be allowed to talk. And I think that's important. They should be allowed to talk. And the only ones in this thing, there's... we attempted, by the way, there's a walk-on that team that we know that we attempted to get on the show, and they say they won't allow us to talk. So we actually tried earlier today to get somebody. And we know that they're, you know, right now they're not being allowed to talk. They should be allowed to talk. They've been through enough. They should be able to speak their piece at this point about what happened and what didn't happen. And give us their perspective, because guess what? They're the victims in all this. Mike Rice is not a victim in this. Okay, the victims are the players, the ones that he screamed at, grabbed, got personal about, threw basketballs at. I mean, they're the ones that should be talking, so that we can get their perspective on what they went through, if they wish to talk. They're 18 to 22-year-old young men. They should be allowed to express themselves about the situation. Because at this point, you're not blowing the whistle. You're just explaining what you went through. And again, they're the key as to whether or not Tim Pernetti, the athletic director, keeps his job. I mean, did things dramatically improve this year? Then maybe there was something to the rehabilitation. If it didn't, then there wasn't, and then he really showed poor judgment. Because the empathy cannot, I mean, from Tim Pernetti's point of view, the student-athlete has to be the one that comes first in all this, and not how he feels about the coach. So the ones I'm interested in hearing from are the student athletes. I mean, that's the part that's missing in this. Our number 1-800-795-9565. You all right there?
I'm fine. I'm just listening along. I just, you know, I'm not surprised he was fired.
He should have been fired.
I think this is, you know, it's funny because just the other day you were talking, I don't know if it was yesterday or it might have been Monday, you were saying, you know, I'm withholding judgment on something we were talking about until more details come out.
Well, Ed Rush.
Yeah, that's what. Okay. Well, there's a lot of details coming out here and video to boot. That's kind of enough details to make a decision in this case.
Well, that's what I mean. I think there's more than enough. I mean, the video evidence, once you see the video, I don't need to make any other judgments. There's nothing you can say that explains that. Nothing. If it happened once, all right, I lost it. All right. But these are repeated incidents. They say 60% of them are from his first season. All right, so what? The other 40%, the other... Now, I don't think, based on what we know here, Eric Murdoch is the one that put together this tape. He was not a part of the Rutgers staff this season. So we don't have tape from... I don't think we have tape from this season. I think everything is from his first seasons there, not from this past season. That's why I think it's important that the president needs to ask the student athletes, was it different and how? And I don't care if he said, well, he yelled at us. I've been looking at him and said, look, I don't care if he yelled at you. I want to know what he yelled at you. Was it personal? Did he cross the line with slurs? Did he throw a basketball at you? Did he grab you or shove you inappropriately, make inappropriate contact, forceful contact with you? Okay? Those are the questions that need to be asked. If everything comes back satisfactory, then Tim Pernetti, I think the athletic director, can keep his job, because then you would say, hey, look, your rehabilitation had an impact, and we'll cut you some slack on it. If not, then no, he can't.
I guess the only thing that makes me wonder is why now, why it took till now to find all this out. What was the delay? I mean, were there any students that came up and said, hey, listen, there's a little bit of an issue here. I want to be anonymous. But was there any other warning signs, we'll call it?
Well, this whole thing came out in November. The tape came out yesterday.
Right.
But the story came out in November.
Right, and you were mentioning it kind of got overshadowed when the Newtown massacre.
Right.
Happened.
So everybody knew. I mean, I could have told you during the season that Mike Rice was suspended for 3 games and it was over his temper. So that part didn't, I was not thrown off by the fact that he had an issue and that he threw basketballs at players. I knew that part. Anybody who can read knew that part. It was in the New York Star Ledger, the New York Times. It was in, and he was suspended for 3 games, and he was fined. I think they say $50,000, but I heard it was $75,000. And anger management. And when Rutgers played on national TV, it was brought up. I was watching it that night about how Mike's doing a better job of controlling himself on the sideline and blah, blah, blah. And you're sitting there going, well, okay, fine. The part I didn't know about was, when you hear about throwing basketballs, the number of times it happened, and then the actual shoving, throwing, grabbing in anger. I mean, that's the part that actually seeing it, you're done. And once you see it, well, at that point, it speaks for itself.
You know, according to the original fine back in November, December, which was the original punishment, we'll call it, 3 games, reportedly $50,000, and he was also mandated to undergo anger management counseling, in addition to strict monitoring by the university. Now the next question is, A, did he go for the counseling? And B, and you mentioned this last hour, was there any monitoring done by the university?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, if it's going to be monitored, I mean, you would think that, look, this is too... sensitive a situation. You can't. The sensitivity part is so. I mean, look, Tim Pernetti viewed a tape like that. I'm sorry. If he was then lax about review, then he should be fired. Because he saw that tape. You can't view that tape and not say to yourself, you know what? I think I'd better keep an eye on this.
Well, and here's the other thing that was running through my mind as I was reading a little bit about this story through the day. What if there was anger management classes and he saw some improvement? Now these tapes come out on national TV after the fact. Now, it tells me that either they're reacting to the national the tapes coming out in the national media, or they don't feel as though he's changed since the November-December issue.
Well, no, he defended it yesterday. He defended his decision yesterday. So that gives you your answer right there. Okay, this came out yesterday, and he defended why he thought rehabilitation was the right way to go. This came out yesterday, and he did not fire him. He did not fire him yesterday.
Right.
He defended the decision to rehabilitate him yesterday. There's your answer.
I guess the question is, if it wasn't any better after the rehabilitation, then why was he still coaching at that point?
Well, I'm saying it may have gotten. That's why you have. If you're the president, you have to ask the players. Okay, were things better? Okay.
Trying to find that original comment from yesterday because I'd forgotten he did make a statement on that. Wanted to get the wording of that.
I mean, that's. I mean, that's the. You know, again, that's why you have to talk to the student athletes. You have to ask them, okay, what was it like this year after he went through all this stuff? And if you get satisfactory answers. Then no issue. If you don't get satisfactory answers, then at that point, you know, you have to make changes. Our number 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2009 Ford Econoline cargo van E150 and a 2004 Volvo XC40 four-door twin turbo with four-wheel drive, both with the lowest price promise, so you gotta call 888-536-8017. 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS reduced to $15,943. 2011 Subaru Legacy four-door sedan, just $21,498. And a 2010 Chevy Equinox four-wheel drive LTZ, $24,998. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Tomorrow, Gary Dolphin is going to join us from Manhattan, where Iowa is getting ready for the NIT championship game with Baylor. Don't want to forget about the NIT. It sets up a lot of things for teams the season after. And Iowa's going to be a factor in the Big Ten race next year. They'll play in the title game tomorrow. They will take on Baylor while Gary Dolphin on from Manhattan in a room overlooking a Sbarro. And then Matt Shepard, of course, we had him on yesterday about the Final Four. Dick Girardi is going to join us tomorrow to talk about the Final Four as well. So that's what
is he going to handicap it for us?
No, we're just going to knock it around and talk a little bit about it. We'll get to racing later.
I'm just getting ready because, you know, May's not that far away.
Verrazano.
Is that the name I need to know right now?
Verrazano.
All right. Is that from you or is that from Girardi?
It's from him.
Okay. No offense, but when it comes to horse racing, I'm going to lean more on his word.
You should. You should lean on his word. Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Very, very good. So, yeah. Just fine. I mean, I understand that.
You know, just like when it comes to football, I'm going to lean on your word before I'd lean on his. Got to go with your with the expert opinion.
I see. All right. So, Mike Rice, Ed Rush. Mentioned that Ed Rush. Hey, look, location to me means something. Actual official meaning? Yeah, that's a problem. Okay. Hanging in a restaurant. Kevin, I think you two told me you got a great steak at Outback. Yeah.
A while back, yeah.
Yeah. But if you're having a meeting in that place, okay. And you're kicking it around, fooling around, laughing. All right, I understand that. I'm with you. But when it's a meeting and a specific school and a specific coach are the target of the joke in the meeting, in a game where integrity from officiating means everything, okay, just from the results, and of course we know in the not-so-naive world, money is changing hands. You can't have that. Mike Rice, let's be honest. Tape comes out. There is no way on the planet Rutgers can recruit anybody. Not even those kids that are playing basketball on the for the Fighting Snails that somehow got into the NCAA tournament in the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial.
The Fighting Snails.
The snail. We're in. You see that? We're in.
I did. I like that.
They're going to take 256 teams. We're in. So.
I'm just picturing what the Fighting Snail mascot would look like.
He's on the commercial.
Well, I didn't see that part of it.
He's at the beginning.
I missed. Oh, that's why I missed it. I always catch it in the middle or something.
He's looking at his phone when he's in the locker room.
I need to watch that then.
Bobbing back and forth, a huge snail.
See, these are the reasons we have YouTube right here.
Well, then look it up. Buffalo Wild Wings fighting snails. Right, have a few laughs. I mean, this country just spent $800 million on the mating habits of snails. Why not? You wonder why people look around and go, what are we doing?
We're spending lots of money on studying the brain, trying to figure out why we're enamored with YouTube. That's what we really want to know.
I want to find out why you're enamored with fantasy and why your brain becomes conflicted when Ray Rice is on the 1 yard line and you need the fantasy.
I'm not going to explain it again. I explained it. It makes sense in my world. It's all that matters.
You're a Steeler fan. You know what you should want? 31-0. You should want scorched earth. You should want steamroller. You should act like they're a grape. Okay? Instead of, well, if they win 17-13 and Ray Rice scores, what kind of way is that to watch a game?
To quote a man in television and movies, it's called winning.
Winning what? It may cost you the game.
How many hours before first pitch? We got 2 hours to go yet? Two hours. All right.
We have wheels today. look, you wanted Roy Halladay questions. We went to Chris Wheeler in Atlanta.
That's great.
All right.
Can't get much better information than that.
Is the NIT championship game a big deal tomorrow? No, but to Iowa it is a big deal. And you know what? It's a national sporting event, so we got Dolphin on tomorrow. Got the Final Four. We got Girardi. We had Matt Shepard from Michigan yesterday. What do you want us to do? Well, looks to me like the balls are flying out of the ballpark here in terms of who we're getting. And we'll get Girardi on before the Kentucky Derby. That'll appease you. You'll be sitting like a sponge writing everything down.
I will be absorbing everything.
Fourth race. Philadelphia Park.
Hey, there's some really good races in the Kentucky Derby before the Derby itself at Churchill Downs. Not just the ones you see on television.
I'm sure there are. All the races are on. Well, another day where Kevin and I have created a sports chasm. We'll see what we can do tomorrow.